just want to give a little explanation first. About 15 years ago, I used to do some work. Our church was doing some work, some community work with Job and Family Services in Pickaway County. And after a series of meetings with some of their officials and some of the people that were in charge of different agencies, we were offering a mentorship program because we had some people in our church that came from different backgrounds. And so we began to offer this to the county. And in one particular meeting, an individual spoke up and I didn't always go to meetings dressed like this, but I normally just had some Dockers on and a sport coat just because I'm more comfortable in jeans and a flannel, but it's not necessarily good for business. So to just try to represent myself as a pastor, I would have a sport coat and Dockers and dress shoes. So this one lady, she spoke up, and when we were talking about this mentoring program, she got a little chippy in this meeting about my hope to help people, not just to serve them, but to help them out of their circumstances. And I felt like I kind of discerned what she was thinking, and so I said, I feel like I might need to reintroduce myself. You guys have been working with me for a couple years now, but I don't know if you really know me. I think what she saw was the suit coat and the Dockers, and she assumed my background. And so I began to tell about our time as young parents and west side of Columbus and gunshots in our neighborhood and 3-minute response time before the sirens would be coming by our house and helicopter shining his light all around our house and us standing in line for shots and cheese and eggs while I was just trying to obey God and be a youth pastor. And we were on WIC. As I began to tell that story, it disarmed her a little bit, and she realized that what she assumed by looking at a guy standing in a sport coat, that I probably knew a little bit more about the plight of the people I was trying to serve than what she thought I did. So let me just help you today. If you don't really know who we are, and you think just because we may have a tie on or a suit coat on or however you think we are, there's more to us than that. We used to sing songs. I know I'm getting old because I'm saying things like back in the day. So I'm officially old now, so I'm saying back in the day. We used to sing songs like "You Don't Know Like I Know," "What He's Done For Me." And because that would really light up the church, because it would make us think about our testimony. It would make us think about where God has brought us from. And if we did get to a point where we were feeling a little bit smug about where we are now, it would be a reminder of where God found us. And so don't let whatever you think we might be, and if you think we're a little bit exuberant in our worship, talk to some of us afterwards, and we'll be happy to share with you about our broken pasts, our broken marriages, our addictions, our suicidal or homicidal tendencies. And all the things that may not be that apparent by how we're looking right now. But when we talk about the Lord and when we sing about the Lord, we get a little emotional because this isn't it. It's what God has amazingly done in our broken state. We hear in the business world a lot, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I will tell you that that's not true in the kingdom of God. And if you're wondering, can I be what I feel like I was meant to be? Have I done too much? Have I gone too far back? Have I done too much? Does God even know who I am? Does he know where I am? Yes, he does. And it's not too good to be true, because all of us that have experienced the blessing of the Lord have put ourselves in alignment one step at a time with his word and in relationship to him. And over time, we have seen God do amazing, miraculous things to heal us and restore us. So that was the message before the message. It is a good one. Because it just shows that it's not a church thing. Don't just go to church. You're wasting your time. But go to have an encounter with God, and to be challenged and to be blessed and to have God be involved in your life. And don't just don't show up. Somebody said one time that, you know, going to church and thinking you're a Christian is about as smart as thinking if you step inside your garage, you're a car. Going to church makes you no more of a Christian than that. So it's God. I need you. I need an encounter with you. I need a moment with you. I need some time with you. And I go to church to learn and to grow. And hopefully just with what I said right there is enough that made it worth your while to come here today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. You don't have to stand. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. I'll read out of the King James this morning. I am excited about this prayer revival that is coming up. I am expecting God's going to do great things. It's no longer called Back to the Upper Room, because I don't want to go back. Amen? I want to go forward. I want us every year to build on what we know about prayer and where we are in prayer. And I want every year, I don't want to go back and try to go back and find. I want to be farther along. Could you imagine if we were trying to get back to the Model A car? Man, if we can just get back to Henry Ford's car. You know that first car, he said it himself, he said, you can get this in any color you want as long as it's black. I don't want to go back to just this Model A car with just one color. We are advancing the automobile. I want to advance where we are in prayer and where we're going in prayer and what we're seeing and doing in the Spirit. And so I believe Brother McLeod's going to help us, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to continue to advance the kingdom and advance ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you help me preach today, I won't be long. If you don't help me, I've got all day. No, I really don't. I have two more meetings after this, so. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So again, it's drawing these two distinctions of this flesh world we're in, but this very real and present, just as much as I'm alive here right now in this flesh and in this blue suit, just as real as that is to you, that's reality. I'm here to tell you that just as real as this invisible guy inside of me and these invisible things that are happening in the spirit world that are also present. That's not spooky. Right? That's not spooky. There's music in this room right now. Well, Pastor, I don't hear a thing. I think you're losing it. No, it's in here. It's jazz, it's rock, it's easy listening, it's elevator music, it's talk radio. All of it's in here. How would I prove it to you that all that's going on in here right now? All I'd have to do is get a receiver and tune it to the right frequency. And it would bring that signal out of this air into that box, and it would go through that speaker, and you would hear whatever. QFM, you would hear Sunny 95. You'd hear the river. You'd hear Christian radio. You would hear talk radio. You would hear these things, and then you'd say, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, it's in here, but I just can't hear it. That's right. There are things that can measure nuclear activity, and there's Geiger counters. There's things that will start to tap and bounce, and little things on a screen that will start to move to tell you have radioactivity. I tried to sell my mom and dad's house a few years ago, and I decided there was a new business I wanted to get into because a guy showed up and said, you have radon in your basement. Well, who knew? I lived there for 50 years. Well, I didn't live there, but my parents did. You got radon in your basement. And so they got to come with this little box. It's got a little dial on it. It's got a little hose on it. And they plug it in, and $1,500 later, I guess it's gone. Shannon, I got a business model for you and I after church. We get a shoe box. We punch a couple holes on it. We stick a dial on it. We get like a little dial from Twister game or from, you know, so get some little thing and just put a little dial on it. And we put a hose on it. And we tell people we're going to get the radon out of their house for $1,500. But I guess that thing measures the radon in your house. I didn't know it was in there. They said it was. But you see, there is no machine, there is no electronics that can measure the spirit world. Maybe they will at some point. Maybe God will allow that to happen. But for right now, it's discerned in the spirit. So just like we didn't understand germs until we got a microscope and we understood, oh, there's cooties, there's things. All my medical training, Bobby Joe. But there's these things that are germs that cause people to get sick and cause infection and all these things. Well, we didn't know how all that worked until we could actually finally have a device that would help us to see it. So just as those things we didn't understand and they didn't seem real, but now we can measure it. Now we can discern it. Wow, now we can know it. Now there's Geiger counters and now there's radon detectors and now there's things in the house. We had some friends that bought a couple CO2 things for their grandparents' house, and so they put these detectors in there to test the CO2 in the house, and they went to check on them later and asked Grandma and Grandpa how it was going. They said, man, that thing drove us crazy. We finally pulled the batteries out of it. Well, why'd you do that? Well, it just kept going off all the time. Yeah, well, that's supposed to let you know that you're about to die. So you kind of want to get that taken care of. Come to find out there's a problem with the furnace or something. But it can measure that stuff. You can't smell it. You can't discern it. You can't know it. But it's there. It's real. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is, for though we walk in the flesh, that's not where the battle is. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, natural, but mighty. What we see here is a transition from anything that's carnal is going to be weak. Everybody say weak. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we have to see that anything that we do in the natural is going to be limited by the natural. You've heard me use the analogy before, but if you have a mechanical problem with your car, do not take it to a doctor. Sorry, Bobby Joe, but do not take it to her. It is a medical procedure that she's going to prescribe for medical issues. Now, if you're sick, don't take it to a mechanic. If you're sick, don't take yourself to a mechanic, because that's mechanical measures. Now, although it's humorous that I would say that, but many times we're trying to fix a supernatural problem by natural means. We have to discern what part of this problem is natural. If you're getting sick a lot and you're not taking care of yourself, well, then that's not a devil. That's not the spirit of infirmity, that's you not taking care of yourself. So you have to take care of that. But how many of you have ever had, no matter what you did, no matter how well you were trying to do, you just had this constant onslaught of things happening? And it's not even a sickness. It's a sprained ankle. It's this. It's a problem. It's this sickness. It's, you get rid of this sickness and you get a different kind of sickness. And then you get an injury. And then there's something else that happens. How many of you have ever been there? And that's happened in my household before. And there's been times that I've discerned, wait a minute, this is not just a sickness thing. This is a spirit thing. This is wearing me out. Could be you're not taking care of your finances. That could be. Do the right thing. Be disciplined in your finances. But sometimes it's way past that. Sometimes you feel like no matter what you do, something's falling apart, your car falls apart, something else happens, and this happens, and that happens. It's a constant onslaught on your finances. It's very possible there's a spirit behind that that you need to address in the realm of the spirit. Why? Because the spirit will always manifest itself in natural forms. Manifest itself, big churchy word, meaning it will make itself known or make itself real. Just like when you are getting closer to God, things get better. Things, marriage, relationships, health, things get better in your life. Many times as you're getting closer to God, because as blessing happens, it is reflected in the natural, right? So likewise, if there's a warfare going on, many times those things will be reflected also in the natural. But though we walk in the flesh, we are daily in the flesh. We have appetites, we have hunger, we have things, we have relationships, we have things, we have weather patterns, we have all this stuff. All this stuff happens in the natural. Although we walk in the flesh, that's not where the battle is. And then it goes on to say that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? We need to define what that is. A stronghold is repetitive patterns. A stronghold isn't, I just had a one-time temptation. Oh, man, that was tempting. I can't do that. Can't think about that. Can't look at that. Whatever that is, can't do that thing. One-time thing. That's not a stronghold. A stronghold is something that appears to be hopeless to you. In other words, this is just who I am. This is just the way it's going to be. I guess this is my life. Yeah, well, what if God says, no, it's not? What if God says, I know the plans I have for you, and I have plans for you to prosper. You were put on this planet for a purpose, and I know what that purpose is. And I've got something big for you to do. I've got something awesome for you to do. I've got something exciting for you to do. I want you to be a part of my plan. I got a destiny for you. I got a purpose for you. When you were born, before you were born, I had a purpose and a destiny for you. And so in the flesh, we have jobs. In the flesh, we have these things. But those jobs and those things are merely to pay the bills so that we can walk in the ministry that God has called us to be. Your ministry may be that you're just an encourager. That's what you're supposed to do on this planet. You're supposed to walk around and give somebody a compliment and make somebody feel good and just encourage them. I'm not talking about being shady and just trying to say things that aren't true to just make somebody feel good. I'm talking about legitimate encouragement for somebody. You know what? There's a drought of encouragement in this world right now. There's a drought of people being nice and polite. And so you have a purpose and a destiny, but the strongholds, the pulling down of strongholds is God doesn't want anything in your life that seems to be hopeless. Well, I've got this habit. I'm doing pretty good in 90% of my life, but I don't think I'll ever get past this. That's a stronghold. The way you think about yourself may be a stronghold. The way the enemy has lied to you, the way the enemy has allowed other people to speak into your life and lie to you. And so now you feel like you're less than what you feel like you're called to be. Stronghold. The spirit world is real. you know this because you'll recognize that although you'll have a honeymoon experience when you start to start and begin a relationship with God, you'll also know that some things will start happening. Has anybody ever made a restart for the Lord or made a start for the Lord and things were good, you had a real good experience and church was awesome, things were great, and then things just started happening? Can anybody relate? What is that? Well, I'll tell you, the spirit world is like this. You don't have to choose to be a devil worshiper, right? You don't have to set out to say, I'm going to worship Satan. I'm going to worship him and chant things to him. You don't have to do that. If you're just simply not following the Lord, you're already in that path. You get out on a football field, you can't say, I want to be on a third team. I want to be on a fourth. You're on one team or the other. I didn't choose this war that we're in. None of us chose this. We got born into this. But the good news is I can choose to be on the winning side. I can choose to be on the stronger side. I can choose to be that. You know, I just found out a couple years ago that my wife is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. I mean, I never remember her talking about them when they didn't have Patrick Mahomes and when they weren't winning all the time. But, you know, they're just got a dynasty now, and guess what? She's a Chiefs fan. Imagine that. You have an opportunity to be on the winning team. I'm still cheering for the Browns in Dallas, so... You know, see what my life's like. See what my choices are like. I'm about to join her and get some red stuff. But what happens is, if we're cruising along not serving the Lord, we're already in a lost condition, as we all were. Right? Anybody forget you were a sinner? That by the grace of God, he helped us all to transition out of that? Okay? But here's what happens in the spirit world. We're just cruising along, not making a decision. Understand this, indecision is a decision. Okay? Well, I don't want to buy that car yet. I'll make a decision about it later. Well, somebody else buys the car. Well, guess what? You just made a decision. Now that's no longer available. So indecision is a decision. And so what happens is we're cruising along not serving God, and seemingly things are all right. Now, maybe they're not all right, but seemingly they can kind of be just kind of static. They're somewhat all right. But then when you make a decision to serve the Lord, there comes this, man, this is awesome. Man, this is great. I feel the presence of God. I feel his word is speaking to me. It's not just words on a page, but I feel like he's talking to me. And all this stuff starts happening. And then it happens. What's it? It happens. That's where all of a sudden you get the enemy's attention, because now you were in his camp and didn't even know it. But now that you've made a decision to serve the Lord, and now the Lord's about to do some great things and some awesome things, there's going to be a little resistance. Now, he can't win. I'm just helping you to understand how this works, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so I'm helping you understand that when things after the honeymoon start to get a little rocky, that then understand it's a very real enemy that's wanting to destroy you. And so here's what will happen. There's at some point where you might say, just for a fleeting moment, man, I was better off before I started serving the Lord. Huh? Now, that's just a small thought, because we know long run. I mean, the reason why we're still in this after all this time is because the benefits and the power to then overcome those temporary challenges, we get it and we understand that the long game, the long term, is we would much rather serve the Lord than to cave to those things and then gamble our whole eternity. So how else do I know that this is legitimate? Well, because it's not just when you serve the Lord, decide to serve the Lord, it's every time you go to take another step with the Lord. The Lord calls you into another ministry, another opportunity, and you're going to feel that resistance, and things are going to start to struggle. Now, the reason why you do it is because once you bust his chops and once you win that battle, now you're on a greater level of anointing, a greater level of power, a greater level of intimacy. And so we understand with every one of those devils is new levels. And so we understand that we continue to grow him. Otherwise, we would just have given up. I'm helping you to understand that you need to recognize the spirit world. It is not uncommon for us to try to go on vacation. You know, the when you go on vacation, we call it sometimes recreation, right? It's really recreation. We call it recreation. You go out, you do some things. But it's really to relax your mind and to ease your mind and to relax yourself so that you can be back into a creative mindset, back into a creative mind. And that's what we were created to do. We are made in the image of God, and he was a creator. But when we get so stressed out, we can't even think of the future. We don't even think of the future of our family. We don't even think of the future of our ministry. Man, I'm just trying to get by today. I'm just trying to survive today. Anybody relate? And so when God wants us to get into a mind of rest so that we can start to get vision about what he would want to do with us, what we can do for him. Isn't it odd that God, after 6 days of making this earth and us and everything in it, and you start to see the colors that are just amazing out in our fall here in Ohio. If you've ever gone to Grand Canyon or Yosemite or Yellowstone, or going to see places and here, not only here, but places, perhaps other places in the world, you just are in awe, and you can't even figure out how heaven could be much better than that, but it will be. But God rested on a seventh day. God rested. That blows my mind. God needed a nap? I mean, cool, I'm glad, because that makes me feel better when I would need one. But God rested. Is it because he was really tired, or is it because he was given a pattern for us? I don't know the answer to that. Or if he was given a pattern to us that, look, I'm going to rest, so you need some time of rest. I said all that to say this. Anytime my wife and I try to get away, whether it's a conference, which sometimes we don't get a lot of rest on that, but it does help us to receive when we're getting preached to and getting ministered to. I cannot tell you the percentage. I'm sure it's well over 75% of the time that we go somewhere, something happens. It happens while I'm on the trip. It either happens back home. It happens here. It happens somewhere in our life. It's going to be something I'm going to have to give some attention to. It could even be the property in Alabama. It could be any number of things that I'm going to wrestle with something while I'm trying to go get fed or while I'm trying to go rest. This last trip we took, we went to California for a business trip for the church. And so while we were out there, my wife and I decided to take some money and then extend the trip on our expense to go to Yosemite. And so we went there. It was absolutely gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. We get home about 2:00 in the morning from our flight, and I hear her say, "Babe." Now, there's different kinds of babes. I won't tell you what some of them sound like. It's not your business. But when it's, "Babe," that's not a good one. That's not one of the romantic ones. She said, "We got a problem in the kitchen." We go in the kitchen, and I see the problem. Water. Run downstairs. It's coming through the floor everywhere. And so that leads to what was a nice time to get some preaching, a nice time to get away. And I literally thought on the flight back, I finally had a trip where something didn't blow up. or somebody passes away, or some tragic thing happens, I finally had a trip, and it was a good trip. And then I come home to that, which is now more fun for me, replacing flooring and underlayment and particle board and all the fun with that. I'm telling you that because it's a very natural problem that I have to deal with now. Well, Pastor, are you trying to tell me that was the devil? How about you just need a new refrigerator? Well, yeah, I've considered that. But here's what I've also considered. Why is it every time that I'm gone that something like that happens? Is it a physical manifestation of a spiritual aggravation that's trying to get under my skin, trying to keep me from proper planning for the prayer thing that's coming up, tying up my time so that I can't give to some other things that require more spiritual attention? But is it always these things that happen, even the things that happen with the building here, is it always these things that happen at the right time that lends me to believe that we all have some things that happen in the natural that may have some supernatural thing behind it? And so we have to address that in the spirit. We have to approach that in the spirit. I've got my knee pads out. I've got them. I've already bought some flooring. I've already bought some particle board. I've already bought some other things to do the repairs. So while I'm doing that, I'm also going to be still doing while I'm on my knees. I'm going to be laying some flooring and doing some praying. But I'm telling you, there's a very real world that's after us. Peter was not a stranger to storms. He was a fisherman, a professional fisherman. He did this for a living, and yet he gets out on the water and he's asking Jesus, "Jesus, let me walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Well, come on." And so for a moment he takes his eyes off Jesus and he says he looked at the winds and the waves. That's what he got distracted by. It looked very natural, but it was enough to get him to take his eyes off of Jesus. Understand this, almost every assault that you'll encounter is just to try to get you long enough to take your eyes off Jesus. Try to take your eyes off him. Try to take your eyes off of what he has called you to do and get focused on the winds and the waves, something very natural, something very, very, very in your face to try to distract you from doing what God has called you to do. And I have found that I have to continue to remind myself and look back to him and look back to what he wants me to do, because it is so easy to continue to look at the natural and get your mind off of the supernatural. Everyone say prayer. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19 says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We have to put our power, our thoughts in him and on him, because it's hard to discern the tricks of the enemy. And again, I'll tell you why. Because he uses very natural means to mess with us. Now, we have some hunters and some fishermen in the place, and so I'll help you to understand that a hunter just doesn't go out there in his work clothes smelling like he just came out of the shop and got grease and oil and gasoline all over him, and we've been on the assembly line and there's the smell of plastics and things all over you. You just don't go out in the woods and just make your presence known and then just go hunt something. What you do is you put on something called camouflage. In other words, you want to make it look like you're not even there. You want to disguise yourself. You might even put some cover scent on. Now, that cover scent may smell like another animal out there, or It may actually be a scent that's an attractant. Maybe you want to smell like a female deer because you're wanting to get a male deer. So you put that scent on your boots, or you put a little bit by the tree while you're there. What are you doing? You're not only trying to act like there's nothing here, there's nobody here to see. You're also trying to attract them by something that you know is instinctively attractive to that thing that you're trying to get. And so make no mistake about it, the enemy knows his quarry. The enemy knows how he can try to get us. And it may be something like offense. You might start to get offended at somebody or something. And that offense starts to build because every other thing that person does or says, whether they mean it to or not, you take it a certain way, and all of a sudden offense starts to build. I recommend the book, The Bait of Satan. Because it will start to eat away and chip away at you before the next thing you know, you're starting to have broken relationships and these things begin to happen and because it's a wiles, it's a trick of the enemy. It's funny, every time I read this, the wiles of the devil, I in my mind I instinctively see the roadrunner and the coyote. I'm a little twisted, I know, but because he always says, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Wile E., the wiles of the enemy. He's slick, he's cunning. Now, I also like to think we're the roadrunner, and he ends up with an anvil or a piano on his head all the time. But the problem is this. The devil is not going to come at you, obviously. He's not going to come at you in this spiritual, spooky thing. Now, I have heard cases where that has happened, but generally that's not the case. He's going to send you somebody that's going to just irritate the daylights out of you. He's going to send you a situation or a circumstance where you're going to be misunderstood, or you're going to misunderstand a scenario, a scene that plays out. I had a pastor a number of years ago, he talked about, he got brought before a board because they accused him of smoking. He said, yeah, a lady in your church came to us and told us that she saw you smoking. He said, what are you even talking about? He said, I used to smoke, but that's 30 years ago. She said, well, she saw you with a cigarette in your hand. And he said, well, that's odd because I haven't smoked in 30 years. And then he realized that he was at an intersection. He was doing some stuff, and he picked up a pencil in his hand with the eraser out here. And he was holding the pencil in his hand while he was thinking of something. Now, this is a well-known preacher, and so I believe him when he says he wasn't smoking. He's also a friend of my father-in-law's. But you see, the offense that happened because she totally thought she saw something that she didn't see. It looked so obvious because she saw the red end. It was obviously a cigarette end, but it was a pencil eraser, and he just happened to hold it like he used to hold cigarettes 30 years previously. And so what she thought she saw was very convincing, but it wasn't the reality. And so we have to understand that, why is prayer important? Because prayer helps us to understand things in the spirit world. I might have told you this story before, and as the musicians come, there was a man a number of years ago that had a perception, and he would say things about me, and he would run and tell my wife, that wasn't my wife at the time, we were just kind of seeing each other, and he'd go tell her things, and then he would come tell me things that she said, and he was just kind of stirring things up, and I kind of had enough of it. So I knew how I was going to take care of it. Now, at the time, I was a youth pastor in the church here, and I was gonna go to him very directly and say, I know what you're doing, and I was going to address this. But here's what happened in a dream, and I'm trying to tell you that the spirit world is real, and we have to discern the spirit world. The Lord sent me a dream. In this dream, I'm in the back of this guy's apartment, and I've got this sniper gear on. Ghillie suit. If you know what a ghillie suit is, it's like this grassy suit. And I've got my crosshairs on him. And he's shooting at me. He's on the back of his property. He's shooting at me. Because I can hear his gun going off. Pop, pop. Sound like he had a silencer on it. Because it wasn't a loud explosion. And I could tell that he was getting close. He was dialing it in because it kept getting closer and closer. And so I put the crosshairs on him and I just get ready to squeeze it off. And I looked beside myself one more time and I noticed the leaves that were moving, it wasn't chunks of dirt flying. It was the leaves that were just moving around. And when I looked, there were a couple of BBs still laying on top of some of the leaves. And I woke up. Now, when God gives me a dream, he gives me the interpretation. I know what the dream means. I don't have to try to figure it out. Now, if I have a burrito supreme with no onions before I go to bed, that's a different story, and I don't have any interpretation of those dreams. Those are just wild. Pizza, pizza dreams, whatever. But when it's a God dream, I know what it means. And here's what I realized. He was saying some things that was causing some harm, but it was stinging a little bit. It's very possible if I would have addressed that person. Not that I would have been mean. Not that I would have been ugly about it. Not that I would have tried to destroy him. But it might have been so hurtful that it might have taken him out spiritually. What God was telling me is, it's BBs. You guys just got to take it. You see, as a youth pastor in the church and somebody that had my ministerial license at the time, I had a little clout, had a little influence with the people here. And so if I would have done something that I would have felt justified in doing, it could have totally wrecked him. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, preached a message probably 4 years ago. Don't just do something, stand there. I know we typically say, don't just stand there, do something, right? But there's sometimes that what God needs you to do is not do anything, but stand and watch him do something in the realm of the Spirit. Do what you're supposed to do. Serve him, love him. Wade through the fact that your flooring is all damaged and tore up. Wade through the drama in your life and keep fastening on him. Keep looking at him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep leaning on him. God, if this is just a bad refrigerator, give me the strength to get it done. Thank God I don't live in Asheville, North Carolina, that my house goes down a river. At least I have a house. I've got a bad floor now, but I can fix the floor. At least I didn't lose wedding pictures and lose everything else. My insurance papers and all that. God, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. But God, help me to wade through this and help me to keep my mind on my vision. Help me to keep my mind on moving the church forward. Help me to keep my mind focused on those that are still seeking you, that I would not be distracted in the midst of my mirror. So as I read to stand, let's stand. It would go on to list some of the things we should do, but that's not the lesson for today. Stand having your loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, on and on. All these things about the armor of God. But I'm going to go right to verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I know we want to see revival, but But I'm telling you, it will come as we are spirit-led and as we are moving past the flesh barrier, moving past these areas that we continue to move into the realm and the dimension of the Spirit, and we seek the Lord to help us out, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you know how all of us ended up from where we were to where we are? An encounter with God. Thank God for a church. Thank God for preaching and teaching. Thank God for instruction. Thank God for godly friends and people helping us to navigate through some of this. But I'm telling you, if you're going to have some deliverance, if you're going to have something supernatural, if you're going to have a conversion take place, if you're going to live the life that God has planned for you, the life that God has intended for you, not what life has handed you, but what God wants to give you, then it's going to happen as you encounter Him in prayer. It's going to happen as you, it doesn't even matter if you're raised in church, you're still going to have to pray. Common denominator is getting in His presence. I'm going to open up this altar today. For those that are familiar with it, you just know it's a place to pray. It's no different from being at your seat. But what's different is you're just saying, God, I really need to get closer to You. If you don't know God at all, it's just a matter of, God, I need to know more. I don't know what I need to know. I don't know what I don't know. And I need to find out some more. So God, I need You to help me. If You have something for me, God, I want Your will in my life. Lord, I want to discern. For those of you that have been serving God a while, you need to push past the stuff and the flesh barrier and say, God, help me to walk more in the Spirit, because there's things going on. You're not going to figure out what's going on politically. I had somebody tell me recently they were kind of for this candidate, that candidate. I said, it's going to be a mess either way. It's going to be a mess either way. I hear people talking about the economy and the dollar is going to crash, the stock market is going to crash, this is going to happen, gold, but then you got gold is going to go up, but then you won't be able to sell it. And I hear all these things, but nobody's telling you the solution. What should you do? You can beat Chicken Little and see the sky falling, but what do I do? Nobody's got answers for that, but He does. Because I'm not warring in the flesh. I watch enough news to know what's going on, but I'm not putting my trust there. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to discern, just like the radio station. I want to be on the right frequency. God, what should I do? God, I want to make sure my heart's right. If I lose it all, God, I want to make sure my heart's right, because I still want to make it to heaven. God, what situation is a germ in my life that I can't see with the natural eyes, but God, through Your eyes, I can see that this is a toxic relationship I should avoid. This is a good relationship that'll help me and heal me. This is time of prayer that I need to make myself available for time of prayer. This is my time frame to get Scripture in my life, because I know that there is a spiritual world out there that I've got to access. I'm inviting you to come and take another step to help God, to help you to discern what is spiritual and what is natural. To help you to discern if this is your first encounter with God, it's not a churchy thing at all. It really is a very sincere thing that we've all done at some point or another, and that's just say, God, if You're there, I need You. God, if You really exist, I need to find You. God, I don't even know if You are there, God, but if You are, I kind of like to know about it. Will You lead me? Will You guide me? Will You help me to talk to the right person that will answer some of my questions? Come on, we're walking in the Spirit today. We're closing our eyes and closing our ears to all the stuff around us, and we're walking in the Spirit now. Lift up your voice and begin to magnify Him. Lift up your voice and begin to ask God to help you. Lift up your voice and begin to ask God to help you on your journey, whether you're seasoned in your journey or whether you don't even have any experience with God. But God, I'm going to give it a shot. God, I'm going to seek after you, God. I feel like maybe you're there. I feel like maybe the stuff I'm going through is things that are going on in the realm of the Spirit. And God, I need some help. I can't do this on my own. I can't do it by myself. I tried to do it my way. Trust me. Everybody in this church today has tried to do it our own way. Oh, but we found out that God is a helper, that God is here to help, and God is here to help us to navigate through this in the realm of the Spirit. Come on, church. Let's cry out to God. Let's lift our voices. Let's invite His presence here.